Momentum Energy is 100% owned by Hydro Tasmania, who in a single hour make enough renewable energy to fill 400,000 bathtubs with freshly popped popcorn, or spin 200 million disco balls all at once, or power an army of 10 million robot vacuums ready to take over the world! Or just help keep your leftovers cold. Either or. For a power company backed by someone who can do all that, switch to Momentum Energy. 100%.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 21st of January 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 off 0.4% to 8,782. It follows losses on Wall Street overnight, where the Dow Jones Index fell 1.7%, the S&P 500 tumbling 2%, and the tech-based NASDAQ off by 2.4%. Wall Street coming back online after a public holiday on Monday. So this was the first time US investors had to react to those increased tariff threats by Donald Trump on Europe as he tries to purchase Greenland. European stocks also down today. The FTSE off by 0.6% overnight. The DAX also down by 1% overnight. Focusing on the Australian share market, sectors ended mixed. 8 of the 11 sectors on the 200 down. Materials, utilities and energy rose. Information technology and the consumer discretionary sector, the worst performing. The worst performing stock today on the 200, Drone Shield off by 8.8%. Telex Pharmaceuticals also off by about 7.6%. Gold producers doing best today. The likes of Bellevue Gold up by 8%. Evolution up by 9%. Westgold Resources 9.6% stronger. The best performer on the market today, Emerald Resources up by 13.2%. And uranium producer Paladin, the second best performer, up by 13% today. Shares in BHP also rising as the Commonwealth Bank fell. To tell us more about that and more of the day's market news, I spoke with Scott Phillips from the Motley Fool. So Scott, after a public holiday in the US on Monday, US investors now have had their first chance to react to the latest tariff tensions given Trump's threats to take Greenland. So how is this adding to the uncertain trading environment at the moment, and just exactly are investors feeling?
Yeah, Ricardo, g'day. The worst falls in the US for a few months, and no surprise. When we say a few months, normally I look back and go, it's only a few months. Worst in a few months is not a big deal, except the last year has been a hell of a decade, hasn't it, with Donald Trump in the White House. So, look, nervous is the answer to your question. The Australian market not falling anywhere near as much as the US, but, man, where does this go from here? You know, again, it's only January. We're 3 weeks in, and so much has happened. The US, Fed, Venezuela, Greenland. On one hand, the falls aren't as bad as they might otherwise be, frankly, because the market's used to Trump being Trump. The unpredictability, the frequent walkbacks from the threats, and even then, kind of, we go, well, what comes next? Even if he does this, what does next week bring? Does he rescind it eventually? All those kind of things going on. So general nervousness is probably the best way to describe it, and notable particularly because the markets are still flying pretty high despite what's been happening in the US.
Yeah, I know you're not a clairvoyant and you don't necessarily have a crystal ball, but you made a good point because global markets have been trading at record highs, the likes of the FTSE, I think the German DAX as well, that the Nikkei's been at a high, the US market, and we've got all these uncertainties, as you mentioned, Venezuela, geopolitical issues, you know, what's going to happen with US Iran. Interest rates, the Fed, Iran, exactly. So could this potentially be a turning point?
Yeah, maybe. And you're right about the crystal ball, right? Because we'll look back and go, oh, nothing happened. Or you look back and go, oh, my goodness. I mean, a few years ago, and this is kind of ancient history now, it feels like it, we had those Chinese property company collapses that were supposed to be the portent of disaster. And in the market fretted about it, and it happened, and we kind of went, oh, okay, let's move on then. So you never quite know, even if those things do come to pass, how bad they get. Now, I will say, really important not to be too pessimistic. You mentioned the market being at highs. It kind of always is. It's what markets tend to do. They tend to create value. Share prices tend to go up over time. So we shouldn't fear highs as if there's some sort of what goes up must come down. What goes up tends to keep going up, just not in a straight line, not all the time, and not without the occasional stomach-churning fall. So I would absolutely be prepared for volatility. That's the ticket to the dance in general, particularly in 2026. Absolutely be prepared. Do we finish the year 10% higher, 10% lower? I wouldn't be surprised if it was either of those, or maybe even larger on either side, just because of the sentiment, frankly, in the short term, and then, yeah, the potential for economic impacts of whatever does happen in the medium and long term.
Speaking of record highs and things going up, precious metals. No, silver. Oh, yeah. Today, again, gold, another record high. You know, there seems to be this attraction to safe haven. It typically happens in times of uncertainty. Is this attraction surprising you right now?
Not in itself. What is really surprising is that shares are doing well at the same time as safe haven assets. Generally speaking, I've been around long enough to see a few cycles. You've seen a few yourself. What you tend to find is when safe haven assets go up, risk assets go down. We talked a million times about risk on and risk off. We haven't used those phrases for a while, and thank goodness. But it tends to be a bit of a, you know, one up, one down. They balance each other out. What is really surprising, not that people are going to safe haven assets given the uncertainty we talked about, but the fact that they're doing that at the same time as shares are at record highs. And the underlying reality is probably the same. If there are inflationary pressures globally or in the US in particular, that'll be good news for asset prices. But also, if there are, you know, inflationary pressures elsewhere, you want to be in something that doesn't expand in size, quantity, whatever, and that is precious metals, gold and silver and others. So you're kind of seeing, unusually, the risk isn't about the economy directly or even about the kind of short-term inflation. It's if there is a general ongoing inflationary pressure, owning something that doesn't increase, i.e. precious metal, or something that benefits from more money printing more inflation, like shares or other assets, that's the surprising bit. Not that people are doing it, but both are happening at the same time, and I suspect that underlying reason is exactly why.
Waffle cones filled with Buller's creamy real ice cream, gooey sauces and generous toppings. The all-new Buller Creamy Classic Sunday range is definitely worth screaming about. Ice
cream! Momentum Energy is 100% owned by Hydro Tasmania, who in a single hour make enough renewable energy to fill 400,000 bathtubs with freshly popped popcorn, or spin 200 million disco balls all at once, or power an army of 10 million robot vacuums ready to take over the world. Or just help keep your leftovers cold. Either or. For a power company backed by someone who can do all that, switch to Momentum Energy. 100%.
Okay, I want to focus on some local stories at the moment, and that's of BHP closing in on the Commonwealth Bank to become Australia's largest listed company. Is this part of a broader trend where we're seeing a rotation out of financial stocks to materials? Financials doing pretty well last year, the likes of the Commonwealth Bank, right? Because we're also seeing record prices for things like copper, with which both BHP and Rio produce. And Rio today is saying it posted record copper production for the quarter.
And talks of BHP and Rio actually joining together in the Pilbara, for example, for different things. There's so much in that question, Ricardo, and I'll try and keep it brief. Is it a rotation directly as the reason, or is that just the output? And it could be either or both. So firstly, we've seen bank shares really, really, you and I have spoken about this before. Bank shares were unsustainably high in my view. The earnings growth, the fundamental underpinnings of these businesses never justified the price. All it justified it is, I'm scared, I want safety, I want security, I want what I know. Everyone else is buying CBA, I might as well do it too. That can last for years. It can last for decades, frankly, but probably won't. No surprise that some investors are going, oh, that's way too much to pay for CBA. On the other hand, you are seeing independent of that, and the rotation may be deliberate, but independent, the sort of issues you're talking about. Iron ore volume's really good. Copper prices going through the roof. BHP making a pretty penny across the board. That positive component, I suppose, of their business is seeing those shares rise because the fundamental value is improving. Now put those together, and that's when you get the rotation. Those who were saying, gee, my bank shares are really expensive, maybe I should look to sell them. Those who were saying, gee, I quite like BHP, I quite like Rio, there might be some opportunity here. Put those together, and that's sort of rotation you see. So some, I'm sure, are doing a thematic out of financials into mining because that's where I want to be because they see some sort of broader short-term, medium-term trading opportunity, and that's fair. Most, I suspect, or at least a large number, particularly the retail investors, so-called retail investors who own the big banks like CBA in massive numbers, are probably looking around and going, I've made my money. this thing's not growing much, if at all. Maybe I should look somewhere else. So, yes, whether the rotation is deliberate or simply just two aligned phenomena where you've gone from one to the other just because that's what the investment opportunity predicts or presents, either way, we're absolutely seeing it happen, and I'm not particularly surprised.
And finally, given this is the first time we're speaking this year and considering everything we've just discussed in terms of all the uncertainty in the market, what are you telling your clients and how do you prepare for 2026? What do you think will be the investment themes?
So I'll go back to the crystal ball. Disappointing, I know, but I don't do predictions. I don't know what's going to happen by the end of 2026 because, well, frankly, Trump. But even without that, you know, who predicted COVID 3 months out from it actually happening? You can't know what's going to happen. So I don't know what's going to happen. A couple of things. Firstly, volatility is going to be ever-present. It always is, but heightened because Trump is Trump. Whether you love him, whether you hate him, he's going to be unpredictable. He's going to shake things up. You're going to have to be ready for that. On the back of that, geopolitics is going to rule. Now, be careful. I don't know whether rare earth, for example, that may all be priced in already. In other words, even if it happens, the shares could still fall because they're already priced for perfection. So be careful of chasing the trends that you see in the market and the broader economy, the broader world, unless you do the work to make sure that's not already priced in. We've seen it with lithium for years. So a bit contrarian maybe, not for its own sake. Just be careful of the things that everybody knows, everybody knows. Maybe it's a time for stock picking. Maybe it always is, but I'd be looking around for that sort of opportunity. The businesses you can understand, maybe the people are ignoring because they're focused on the big stuff. Maybe the opportunities are going to be in 2026 around the things no one else is talking about, and that's because you're going to get them cheap.
That is Scott Phillips there from The Motley Fool, and he wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Give it a rating, a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and click subscribe. See you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Celebrate culture and connection this summer with SBS. Say Kimchi brings you a taste of Korean culture through a distinctly Aussie lens. SBS Spice serves up fresh takes on South Asian Australian life, unpacking pop culture, identity, food, sports, and more. And Chinese-ish dives into what it means to be a young Chinese Australian. Listen now on the SBS audio app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.